Our second reading for the morning is Psalm 100, which probably next to the 23rd Psalm is everybody's favorite psalm, if you are into psalms at all. It's a psalm that is made for people gathering for worship, and you can sense from the reading of the psalm that it is a kind of processional psalm of the people moving through the courts into the gate of the temple prior to their making their sacrifices to God and their worship of God. So what I'd like to do is to ask you to join me as we read this psalm together. So we'll project it on the screen and ask you to affirm your faith and lift your joy up with these people who thousands of years ago joined in praising God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Here we are again. Isn't it amazing that we've been given this day together to come and praise and give thanks to God and remember all the ways we have been blessed by God's grace and by friendship and by love. It's really a great feeling for me to know that I can stay home from annual conference and be confident that with people like Pastor Mark there, we won't go far astray. That our church is in good hands, as this church is in good hands. And I am so grateful that that Mark is part of God's plan for Riviera Church and for the United Methodist Church and for whatever we become in the future. And he certainly is in my prayers as he continues to finish his papers, which are due soon. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to read what he is writing, and very, very excited about what he is saying in his faith that guides him. Well, these are busy days. It's been a busy week, hasn't it? A lot has been going on in our national life. And those of us who were young at the time that President John Kennedy was elected to office, and the time that he was taken from us, certainly have been moved by the tributes to his life and the memories of his leadership and his charisma. Big and little events have taken our attention this week. I came across something that I thought maybe some of you missed. On November 15th, that was the day, it was a national observance of cleaning out your refrigerator day. Now, how many of you missed that? Would you... Well, I did too. And I decided, well, I'll just wait till next year. It'll come around again. And we'll take care of things when they need to be done. Really. One of my favorite authors tells of a day she spent with two friends, Barbara and Susie. And the plan was for Susie to drive to a high point above San Francisco for a spectacular view of the Pacific Ocean. They invited Barbara to go with them, a woman who was suffering the ravages of Lou Gehrig's disease, and now used a walker, a feeding tube, and a computerized speaking device called Kate that works through her iPad. When they arrived at their destination, the view was socked in with thick fog. Nothing to do but to retreat to driving around a lower neighborhood, warmed by brilliant gardens and bright, splashy flowers. They were surrounded by sky, birds, clouds, and a warm, exuberant sun. They talked about real things for an hour. Life, death, families, feeding tubes, and faith. And Anne asked Barbara, who does not eat anymore, "What are you most grateful for these days?" And she typed on her iPad, and Kate's mechanical voice spoke for her. "The beauty of nature, the birds and flowers, the beauty of friends." How is it possible for a woman stricken with ALS to be thankful for anything? Surely the pain, the struggle, the hopelessness would shut down any thought of gratitude. And that's the question I want to look at this morning to see if our Bible and faith can give us any help. Generally, most of us have given a lot of energy and time striving for ease and privilege, success and honor. How can we be grateful when life becomes a blur of disappointment, drudgery, desperately bleak? How is it possible to hang on to gratitude, even in dark times? It turns out that gratitude is a way of life, not dependent on success or failure, comfort or pain, not subject to good breaks or bad luck. Gratitude can become a deep-rooted habit that moves us into the future, even when we're not thinking about it or trying very hard. A habit that begins to suffuse our earliest thoughts every morning as we struggle to wake up before that first swallow of coffee. Gratitude can grow to be a reactive response which permeates our thinking and living. Gratitude begins to shape our lives when we're aware that we're loved, just as we are. Whether we're just the right weight and height or less than ideal, whether we're strong as an ox or struggling to put our socks on everybody's list to invite to the party, or a wallflower, happier to be alone. Extrovert or introvert, each of us is loved. Each of us is wanted. Each of us is needed. Each of us is irreplaceable. For some of us, that awareness comes from our immediate family. Mother, father, sister, brother, wife, husband, partner, children, grandmother, grandfather, for some, a teacher, neighbor, friend gets through to us that even with our insecurities and shyness and lack of abilities, we are valued. Others come to know caring that cannot be shaken. As we read this Bible and become a living part of a community like Riviera Church, in this congregation, we know that we are loved. We may not be certain of much else, but we're convinced of that. I can mess up pretty badly at times, but I and you can count on the fact that here we will be treasured. And through the years, our confidence grows. It will be sustained, even when going down in deep water for the third time. With our last gasp, we see something that can save us, and we grab it, remembering the words of the psalmist that we just read a moment ago. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. You need to remember that the habit of gratitude is formed and strengthened by the choices we make. What we do, the way we live. Did you notice that in Psalm 100, it is crammed with action verbs? Think about it. Make a joyful noise. Worship the Lord. Come into his presence. Know that the Lord is God. Enter his gates. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Oh, as we sang in the earliest days of my Sunday school experience, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Gratitude doesn't just happen. It is born of the decisions we make and how we spend our time. And thanksgiving grows stronger with friends who are closest and the causes that we're passionate about. The Apostle Paul tells those followers of Jesus whom he loves and to whom he writes, "Thanks be to God." The object of those active verbs in Psalm 100 is the Lord. The focus to this activity is the Lord, who creates and heals and brings hope to life. Our morning reading from Deuteronomy 8 recalls the words of Moses to the Hebrews who are in trouble and despondent. Before they get to the promised land, things are not going well. Escape from the wilderness they were wandering in and a life of plenty and ease are but a weak dream. And Moses tells these dispirited Hebrews, when things get better, as they will, remember the Lord who brought you out of bondage. At a time of our greatest success, and especially in a time of our greatest fear, when we're humiliated by failure, Jesus Christ is the sign for us of the presence of redeeming grace. And with him, everything changes, and we find the strength to continue on. The Bible and our faith teach us that when we focus on the Lord God, more than on our successes or failures, fears and weaknesses, then our mind and heart are redirected to the one who greets and welcomes us at the beginning of life and at the end of life. The one who is the source of all love, the light that overcomes the darkness. Occasions for gratitude are everywhere. Everywhere you go. The smile of a stranger you pass in the store. The unexpected grace-filled gift. A hug. A grade on a test that is higher than you expected and maybe deserved. Love that lasts. A new friend. Faith that keeps us going without answers. The innocent face of an infant or child. The offering of a shoulder to lean on. Peace that comes finally to our tortured minds and spirits. A 3-year-old granddaughter who sees you down the sidewalk and runs to grab you as she says, "Hi, Grandpa." Occasions for gratitude that carry us forward are everywhere. I want to tell you of one man's experience. Almost every day, he drives from the place where his wife has lived for 3.5 years back to their home. They've known each other for 60 years and been husband and wife for 56. His daily visits are to help her eat supper, walk with her, listen together to music, and to be sure she has a sweater on for cool evenings. In reality, he's there to affirm and continue the bonds which have blessed them, so that no matter what little she may remember or how little she can do, she will believe that she is loved. His drive from Garden House to the home they bought 25 years ago is not a great distance, just over 6 miles. But there are nights when it seems a long, long way. Nights when regret and loneliness seem so intense. And that's when he pops a CD titled "Classic Kathleen Battle" into the player. And that lyric, clear, sweet soprano voice lifts him off the seat of his little Honda. He's transported to a sphere of incomparable beauty. His spirit quickens with her singing, and his heart is comforted. And with that music, the man is redirected, as we say. His life is reframed, and his hope is recentered away from himself. His sight is refocused anew on the one Lord who rides with him, the same Lord who sits beside his life's loving partner. Even in our darkest night, when it seems we cannot take another step, the Lord will be with us. The Lord will see us through. Praise God. Praise God. Let us pray. From our first breath, O Lord, you have been with us. You have crawled with us when we learned to crawl, and sat with us when we had the strength to sit, and walked with us in our first adventurous steps. Every morning, every night, your presence blesses us, and your grace awakens us and gives us all we need and all we will ever need. We pray that the spirit of gratitude will never leave our hearts, and your praise will never leave our lips. Amen.